John chapter 9, we are going to be looking verse 35 through 41. We have read the passage for our scripture reading. Just would like to highlight one verse. Jesus said, verse 39, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." My subject, the purpose of Christ coming into the world is to separate the sighted from the blind. Purpose of Christ coming into the world is to separate the sighted from the blind. This is our fourth message in this ninth chapter of John's Gospel. We looked first at the first few verses, and we looked at the implications as far as physical healing is concerned. And then we looked the following week on the spiritual meaning of the chapter in terms of spiritual healing. Pointed out that the purpose of this incident is to demonstrate that men are blind spiritually and that their only way of seeing is through Jesus Christ. Then in our last message, we looked at the reaction to the man's to the fact that the man received his sight on the Sabbath day. We have seen how the Pharisee reacted and attempted to portray Jesus as a false teacher for having healed the man on the Sabbath. Today, we are going to conclude the chapter. It is obvious by these last verses in this chapter that the whole purpose of the incident recorded is, as we said in our second message, to confirm that men are blind. The incident is recorded for two purposes. One, it demonstrated or it played out in a live situation the reality of men's blindness. And secondly, it demonstrated Christ's purpose of coming to separate men, to show that there are two types of people, two groups of people in the world: those who have sight and those who are blind. But we need to know that all men are born blind spiritually, so that those who have sight do not have it through natural, normal means. It was given to them by an act of God in Jesus Christ. Now, after one has received sight, one is then removed from the group of the blind to the group of the sight. Those who refuse to accept the fact that they are blind are due to remain blind and to remain under the judgment of God. We are going to look at when does this spiritual blind receive sight. We are going to look at what point does a person acknowledge the Lordship of Christ and what happened when he does. And how that translates, thirdly, how that is translated into the separation that Christ came to establish. So the first thing we are going to be looking at is, when does the spiritually blind receive sight? I take you to verse 40 and 41. But let me give you a little background to refresh your mind. The man is taken to the Pharisees. The leaders. They interrogated him. They asked him, our last message we saw this, they asked him how he received his sight. He told them what Jesus did, and their purpose was to get him, the man, to denounce Jesus. Now, failing to get the man, to have the man denounce Jesus, they threw him out. Threw him out of the temple, the synagogue. Now, here is where our text pick up for today. Jesus found the man, looked for the man, found him. Then, having found him, he spoke to the man, he revealed himself to the man, and the man recognized Jesus, and the man then worshipped Jesus. Then Jesus made the statement for judgment, I have come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? What are we blind to? The original text is not accurately reflected here. The tenure of the question that the Pharisees is asking is, could be interpreted, surely we spiritual leaders are not also blind. Or do you dare to say that we, the religious leaders of Israel, are spiritually blind? How could you say such a thing, knowing that we are those who lead Israel into spiritual things? You could not dare say that we are blind. The essence of Jesus' response is, that is your problem. That is really your problem. For as long as you keep denying your true condition, there is no hope for you. There is no hope for you. So we may ask, when is the blind not ready to receive his sight? The answer is, the blind is not ready to receive his sight when he has not acknowledged that he's blind. The blind is not ready to receive his sight when he has not acknowledged that he is blind. For here Jesus says, that is your problem, because you have not acknowledged your blindness. He end up saying in verse 41, last part, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. There is no way for you to have sight. It is simple. There is no need for any great explanation here. The point is simple. Nobody can be saved who does not acknowledge that he or she is a sinner. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he knows he's a sinner. I'm not saying that. A lot of people know they're sinners, but they enjoy it. They revel in the fact that they're sinners. What is needed to be saved is the acknowledgement of what it means to be a sinner. And what does it mean to be a sinner? Well, look at the man who is ready to receive his sight. You'll understand what it means to acknowledge that one is a sinner. Now, the man who received his sight, when he was questioned concerning Jesus, the man said, I don't know a lot about this man Jesus. But in verse 25, the man says, one thing I do know. Notice that. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. When did he know this? He knew it before. He knew it before. You see, he understood, this man, not just that he knew he was blind, he understood what being blind meant. That's acknowledge. He understood what being blind meant. Because you see, being blind expresses a sense of, as we said earlier, in an earlier message, a sense of depravity. A sense of hopelessness. A sense of powerlessness. For you see, the man spent his life sitting by the wayside begging. Others had to do for him. He knew this. He knew his position. And therefore, because he knew the position and the state he was in, the man was forced to acknowledge his state of blindness. I want you to follow me. When one acknowledges one's state, when one acknowledges one state, which implies, which means, when one knows the condition, the true condition he is in, one is ready to reach out for help. The acknowledgement of the man's blindness suggests to him that he needed help. He was humble enough to sit and beg because he knew that's all he could do. He was willing to accept what he could get. That's an object of his blindness. Now the point Jesus was making is that the Pharisees were spiritually blind. That this man's physical blindness suggests human spiritual blindness. But the fact is that some people who are physically blind don't have to acknowledge the condition because they can fake it. If you have money, you don't have to sit and beg, do you? If you have a rich uncle who can take care of you, you don't have to sit and beg. If you have faith, like Ray Charles, you can sit there and you can rock. But he's still blind. You see, it doesn't matter how much applause he gets for his fame and his popularity, he is still blind. Somebody's still got to lead him on and off stage. Isn't that a fact? So you may be able, one may be able to fake his blindness. It's spiritual blindness, because you see, you could be religious as well. And that's the problem of these people who rejected Jesus Christ, is that they were religious. And they were able to fake their spiritual blindness under their ritual. For they look good while they offer their ritual. But Jesus said, that's the problem. That is the problem. The problem is that too many sinners can fake their plight. Can think they are more than they are, when the reality is they are not. So when is one ready for his sight? Not when he knows he's blind, but when he what? Acknowledges his blindness. For the acknowledgement of one's blindness puts one in a state, a position of humility to accept help. When one is in that spiritual condition, one is ready to say, Lord, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. Nothing to rest in, nothing to make me feel good, nothing to build me up. All that I am is a wretched sinner. I need a Savior. That's the acknowledgement of the plight of spiritual blindness. But then we are going to look at, when does the spiritually blind acknowledge who Christ is? Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. Man who received his sight. Thrown him out. When he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? The question is not a question of uncertainty. It is not a question of, well, tell me, you really believe or don't you believe? That's not the question that we have before us. The form of the question indicates confident expectation of an affirmative answer. That's the question Jesus asked in a man. A question that Jesus expects an affirmative answer. Surely you believe in the Son of Man. Jesus is saying to him, surely you believe in the Son of Man. Notice here. One is able to acknowledge or claim the claims of Christ. Jesus Christ upon his life or in his life when one is confronted with the claims of Christ. I want you to see that. One is able to acknowledge Jesus Christ not before, but when he is confronted with the claims of Christ. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He is being confronted with the claims of the Son of Man. He needed to know what it is he believed and in who he believed. But you say to me, the man has been speaking for Jesus. when the Pharisee asked the man the question about Jesus, he says to him, tell us, you know, this man can't be of God. The man says, I don't know what you're talking about. I know that he's a prophet. Speaks of Jesus as a prophet because the man didn't know who Jesus really is. Basically what the man says, the only thing I can tell you about him is that he is from God. He is from God. You see, the man needed to know who this man is. Who is he? Question. Who is he that gave you sight? That's confrontation. Hear me, folks. A lot of people who believe, supposedly, don't really believe in Jesus Christ. If you're one of those who take people to the counseling room when they come forward, if you talk with them many times, if you know how to question them, you will discover that the reason they came forward, it is not because they believe. Whatever the experience they had, it is not a Christ-centered experience. Several years ago, Eldridge Cleveland, you remember him, the Black Panther of the 60s, who I think murdered somebody and went away to Manila. And a few years ago, he said he had a vision, an experience, a religious experience. And he came back to the United States as a result of that religious experience. Many religious leaders claim to have part in him having this religious experience. It turned out that what Cleveland had was not a Christian experience, but some religious experience that made him believe in, I think, as a Muslim or a Buddhist or something like that. It was an embarrassment. There are many experiences, many times when people say they have spiritual experience, you have to be careful of what an experience is. Eating late at night have a way of giving us religious experiences. A man is not able, a woman is not able to identify the person of Christ until he's confronted with the claims of Christ. And also until Christ is revealed to him. Look with me at verse 37, 36 and verse 37. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Verse 35, verse 36, the man says, who is he, sir? Speaking to Jesus, the man asks, tell me so that I may believe in him. Now notice, there is a readiness to believe. There is a readiness to believe. All he needed is instruction. When he's instructed, he will be able to believe. If, listen to me carefully, when he is instructed, he is able to believe. If and only if. The experience he has had is done by the work of the Holy Spirit. There is a readiness to learn when the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of a person. So the man is ready. Tell me, sir, so that I may believe. Look at verse 37. You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. I want you to get this one. The Son of Man is not an abstract thing. It's not a mystery. Not a mystery or a mystic. Jesus Christ is not a mystery hidden upon some hilltop. Not locked away in the convent. It is not a priest or a pastor, or someone in a long black robe, or even in a white shirt. Who is distant from you? Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is a person who wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to speak with you. He wants you to know that he is right there where you are, communicating with you. I have problem with any religion that is mystical. The great mystery that surrounds so many religions. Pope, preacher, or the bishop. Last one is for the enemies. Somebody whom you have to beg to speak with. Because he's enclosed in his little world. And when you see him, you see mystery. Mystery surround him. That's not Christianity. Christianity is Christ, your Lord, walking with you. Someone with whom you can have personal intercourse. And you can know for a fact that he's there when you need him. Personal relationship. Who is he, sir? The man needed, probably expected, some mystical statement. Jesus said to him, he's speaking. But observe what happened. When one acknowledges, after having been confronted with the claims of Christ, reveal Christ and acknowledges Christ. Now notice what happened. Verse 38. The man said, Lord, I believe. And what did he do? First, Lord, I believe. What is Jesus? Is he Savior? Or is he Savior and Lord? Notice that the man's action demonstrated that to him, Jesus was Lord. Don't you see that? His action. What did he do? He worshiped. Why did he worship?
Because they acknowledge Jesus as Lord. If Christ is Lord, it means he owns you. If Christ is Lord, it means that everything you do must be at his bidding. If Christ is Lord, you must worship him with your life. If he is Lord, you must give him your all.
The problem is, we have received Christ as Savior. That don't mean anything. You are saved and you're on your way to heaven. But I want to tell you, my friend, if Christ is not your Lord, I doubt he's your Savior. And if your life, listen to me now, Kevin, if your life does not reflect his lordship, you may well question whether or not he is your Savior. It is not what you talk, it's what you live. It is not what you express with your mouth, it is what you express with your life. Christ is not Lord of your life, then maybe he's not your Savior. For if he is your Lord, you must do what he wants you to do. You must reverence him with your life, which means you must fall down in worship.
On your knees and worship? No.
It means to do exactly what he wants you to do. That is true worship. The man on the hill, you come from places like the West Indies, from Jamaica, and you know these background who owns these county. Everything you see around you belong to this man who live on the big white house on the hill. And he sends to call you. You come trembling because you live on his property. Pick up your house and move. We say Christianity do not exert demands on us. We are free to serve the Lord according to our conscience. No, my friend, we are not called to serve the Lord according to our conscience. Conscience is a terrible thing. I want to tell you, a lot of consciences, even Christian consciences, sneer. We are called to serve the Lord according to his word. My rights to the Lord. We are called to serve the Lord according to the principles of his word. The man says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. In those days, you can picture what he did. He fell on his knees with his head down and he worshiped. He gave obeisance. He gave adoration. He gave praise. His whole body went down to the ground with his head bowed down and he would not look up. That's how they worshipped someone in those days. What it means by that act, it says, I am yours to command. Do with me as you please. Is Christ your Lord? Or is he your Savior? But then let me go on. acknowledge Christ to be Lord. And he worshipped him. And the man demonstrated that now his eyes are open. Now he's able to see clearly. Now Jesus made a statement. Verse 39. For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Now look at the word judgment. The judgment here is not the act of passing verdict. Matter of fact, Jesus made it quite clear in John chapter 3 that his purpose of coming into the world was not to pass verdict on anyone. He made that quite clear. In essence, he said, that a man, by his action, passes judgment on himself. His purpose, Christ, is not to pass judgment. Rather, the result of the word judgment is the outcome of what one does. It means to separate. It means to separate. So then, by your action, by the way you respond or don't respond to what Jesus said, you will determine what good you are. You following me? If you're spiritually blind and you claim not to be blind, you will stay blind, for you have passed judgment on yourself. If you are spiritually blind and you acknowledge that you are blind, you reach out in humility, you will have demonstrated that you have passed from death unto life. And judgment is no longer on. Let's take this a little further. Look at the nature of those who are separated. Look with me at verse 41. Jesus said, you know, I've dealt with this a little bit before, so the background is laid. Jesus said that judgment is coming to the world to separate the blind from the sighted. Some Pharisees who were there, verse 40, with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? Now, verse 41, Jesus says, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. Now, I read this, and when I first read it, it didn't make a lot of sense. I say to myself, this don't make sense, because even the man who is blind and acknowledge that he's blind is guilty of sin. So what then could this mean? What is it that Jesus is here saying? If you are blind, if you acknowledge that you are blind, you would not be guilty of sin. What is it that Jesus is saying? Then I did a little exploration. I did a little investigation. And I understood it now. Let me share it with you. In the Gospels, particularly in John, there's a frequent statement that is used to have. To have. To have faith. To have sorrow. It's a trace, particularly in the King James Version. This is in the, if you're reading in the King James Version, you'll notice that these statements, to have sorrow, to have joy, to have faith, etc.
the term to have is stronger than the verb it expresses. For example, to have faith is stronger than to believe. To have faith is stronger than to believe. So then, when Jesus said he should have no sin, that is stronger than saying sinning. Doing sins or committing sin. It is stronger to have no sin, is stronger than to commit sin. Therefore, the meaning in the NIV, though it is right, it is obscure. For it simply means to be guilty of deliberate acts of sinfulness. Every sinner have some understanding. But to really enter into that understanding of sin, one must know the difference between what he does. For herein the concept involves acknowledging but refusing to know. Complicated, isn't it? Let me give you the example that clarifies. Look at two blind men. Here's one blind man. This blind man, he acknowledges that he's blind. And he sits down. Before he gets up, he reaches for his cane. When he moves through the room, he feels his way around. Every once in a while, he falls over a chair. The reason he falls over the chair is because he's blind. Because you see, as he feels his way through the room, the man is acknowledging, I am blind. In other words, he's saying, will somebody help me find my way? Now look at the other man. He does not acknowledge that he's blind. So he gets up. And he tries to walk around without his cane, and he falls over everything, and he hits his face into the wall. Why is he falling? Is it because he's blind? No. No. He's not falling because he's blind. He's not bumping into wall because he's blind. He's bumping into wall because he's arrogant blind. He's a blind man who refuses to acknowledge his blindness. So he bumps into wall because of arrogance and not because of blindness. The essence of what Jesus is saying is that those who refuse to acknowledge their blindness express their arrogance, therefore manifest their sinfulness. How would such a person be helped? He cannot be helped. He may not be helped. Because as long as he continues to express his arrogance, there is no hope for him. Here may conclude. To awaken in men a sense of their spiritual blindness is a primary work of Jesus, the Apostle of God. Performing of it puts all who remain ignorant into a state of defense. The blind man, when he is forced to consider his blindness, will become resentful, become arrogant, and defensive. You try to
point out to an unsaved man, or make it a little closer, trying to point out to a religious man that he's on his way to hell, and see what you get. You will get all kinds of arguments because he knows that his religiousness is good enough. Will he acknowledge that God says it's not good enough? No. Because in his own head, he is good enough. For that man, Jesus says, his sins remain. For that man, Jesus says, he would have had no sin if he wasn't so arrogant. But now his blindness and his tenaciousness not to repent is demonstrated clearly. Here is a man who is judged and under condemnation and on his way to hell, and nothing can stop him. That kind of statement is hard, isn't it? But the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, many people are on their way to hell and nothing can stop it. Many of your neighbors, many of your friends, many of your families are on their way to hell and nothing can stop it. Because their sin remains. They will not bow before Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Our Father, Lord God, we pray that the truth of your word may now stir our hearts. Those of us who have acknowledged you as Lord, may our lives speak volumes in worship. And if there be those who are yet unrepentant, there are those who refuse to bend or bow, may they realize that they have separated themselves. It is not because you have passed judgment on them, it is because they have passed judgment on themselves. Father, there is nowhere else. The only way is to turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. And in humble repentance, cry out, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. We pray for many of our loved ones who are outside of their faith. Many who have heard the gospel time and time again. They have demonstrated such callousness, such indifference. We pray for them, Father. Or we pray that somehow you will reach down to them, speak to their hearts, cause that the Holy Spirit may stir within them the awareness of salvation. They may come crying. What must I do to be saved? Those of us, Lord, who have unsaved relatives, give us the grace to live Christ, to demonstrate Christ. Show to the world that he is Lord. Let others see his lordship in our lives, so that they want to come and worship him. We pray, dear God, to minister to our hearts. If you are here, you are not saved. You are spiritually blind. You have not acknowledged Christ. Oh, you may know him. You may know your sin. You may know Christ. You may know about him. But you have not acknowledged your true state. That you are in a depraved condition. You are not acknowledged that Jesus Christ is God's only way of salvation. But somehow the Spirit of God has been exercising your heart to believe, even though you struggle to believe. You may ask, how could I believe? How can I believe? Faith, myself, my friend, is something God has planted in your heart. If He has planted faith, there is within you today a desire to believe. It is because He is opening your eyes to see. What must I do? If you shall believe with your heart, the Bible says, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So then, my friend, if you are here today, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. You have this desire to be saved, to make Christ your Lord, to be found in Him, to be separated from the blind, to be brought into the light of the glorious gospel of the Son of God. Repeat this prayer after me. God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Forgive my sin. Wash away all my iniquity. Remove my blindness. Give me spiritual sight that I may see as You would have me to see who Jesus really is. Save me, I pray.